Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 51 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
If you feel like it isn't enough, then do as you please. You can post banners up, have ceremonies, stuff like that.
15-year-old Cameron Brown of Lexington says people should celebrate Martin Luther King Day as they see fit. Today, he marched. Food prices in Kentucky have reached a record high, and Moorhead nears completion of its revised comprehensive plan. In sports, the Moorhead State women's basketball team hosts SEMO this evening. No stock report today because of the holiday. Turning colder tonight with snow likely, low around 22. The complete forecast is coming up after this news. Thousands gathered in downtown Lexington today for an annual tribute to civil rights legend Martin Luther King Jr. While the march through downtown Lexington is a mainstay, several participants say there's much more to be done if our society is to live up to Dr. King's dream of racial and economic equality. The Central Kentucky Council for Peace and Justice is celebrating 30 years of existence. Council leader Richard Mitchell remembers a button his group produced several years ago that made a point about civic involvement.
An old button that we used to sell at our stand that said, wearing buttons isn't enough, where marching isn't enough, of course, but it's something. It does bring us together as black, white, brown, Asian.
There's a program on the Moorhead State University campus tomorrow night to celebrate the life of Martin Luther King. It takes place in the University Center at 7 o'clock and features music by the MSU Black Gospel Ensemble and a speech by Gerald Benton, Moorhead's Minority Retention Coordinator. The latest market basket survey from the Kentucky Farm Bureau indicates that average retail food prices in supermarkets across the state increased just slightly in the fourth quarter of 2013. As a result, however, the year concluded with the highest prices in the survey's history. According to the findings, the total cost of 40 basic grocery items was just over $120. The results were almost a dollar higher than the same list of items reported in the third quarter of 2013, the previous record high. The Farm Bureau recorded prices from six food groups in 24 Kentucky cities. Those categories were beef, pork, poultry, dairy, grains, and fruits and vegetables. Union workers are hoping they can persuade Super Value to keep its food distribution center in Milton, West Virginia, open. The company announced last week that it will close the facility in April and consolidate it with another operation in Pennsylvania. Teamsters Local 505 President Ken Hall tells the Herald-Dispatch that the union wants to meet with Super Value and plans to circulate a petition statewide urging the company to keep the Milton facility open. The union represents 60 of the Milton Center's nearly 100 workers. A Republican senator from Wyoming cites a National Public Radio story about Martin County, Kentucky, to make his claim that the federal EPA has done a disservice to President Johnson's war on poverty. John Barrasso talked about the report last week during a hearing on the regulation of the coal industry. He says 50 years after the president vowed to improve conditions in Kentucky's Appalachian region, NPR noted that 47% of Martin County's children live in poverty, and government aid is the largest source of income. Even so, Barrasso claims the EPA has imposed job-killing rules on the area's mining industry.
The actions of this administration's EPA to wipe out coal and eventually natural gas is costing thousands of jobs, and it's driving up energy costs for many of the most vulnerable people in this country. And I can only conclude that this EPA is on the wrong side of the war on poverty.
Barrasso alleges that the EPA is sending Martin County and other coal mining communities back to the days before President Johnson's Great Society. Governor Beshear is predicting passage of his plan to make the Mountain Parkway a four-lane highway from Clark to Pike County. The governor talked about the $756 million initiative at a press conference last Friday.
Assuming that the General Assembly approves my plan, and I believe that they will, this project will give eastern Kentucky the equivalent of a four-lane interstate highway running from the Bluegrass all the way to Pikeville. And that is something that has been sorely needed for years.
The governor says making the Mountain Parkway a four-lane expressway from Winchester to Pikeville will trigger economic development all along the corridor. The County Commissioners Association of Ohio has thrown its support behind a $1.8 billion bond issue to finance infrastructure projects and repairs. Suzanne Delaney is executive director of the organization. She spoke at a press conference in Columbus.
While topics such as waste disposal and water treatment and trash collection, road and bridge maintenance, may not constitute exciting conversation in all social circles, it does for county commissioners because they are acutely aware of how important a sound infrastructure is to the quality of life and economic vitality of the communities that they serve.
Ohio voters will decide the issue in the May primary. The city of Mount Olivet is reportedly interested in buying the Robertson County School System's former vocational tech building. The facility became unnecessary when the district opened its new school a year ago. Superintendent Patty Price says both sides would like to get a deal done, but it's not that simple since Robertson schools are still paying off a sizable debt on the 1990s era building.
$171,000 to be paid over the next 6 years, and they tell me that the type of bond that it is, we are not allowed to pay it off early. So there is a procedure where if we sold it, we could put the money in escrow and pay out over the 6 years.
Price says Mount Olivet would use the old Votech building to house many of its agencies. City officials are also looking at a possible lease-to-buy arrangement if an outright purchase cannot be worked out. The restoration of a covered bridge in Lewis County is almost finished. Arnold Grafton is overseeing that work. He tells the Ledger Independent that the Cabin Creek covered bridge project should be completed in about 3 weeks. The $1.2 million project was funded through a transportation enhancement program. Work began in 2009. The span was originally built in 1873 and is one of 13 covered bridges in the state that are still standing. Grafton hopes small vehicle traffic will be able to use the bridge after the restoration is completed. Officials in Moorhead are working to finalize the city's comprehensive plan for the future. Mayor David Perkins says the document is broad-based and covers a variety of issues and goals the city hopes to achieve in the coming years. He adds that local citizens still have time to provide their opinions about the plan.
If they have comments, then they're asked to submit them to the city. We'll sift through all of that and come up with a final draft that we present to the Planning Commission. I think there's another public hearing that has to be done. And once all that process is completed, we'll present it to Council for their approval. So right now, this is the last opportunity to have input from the public, that and the actual public hearing.
A date for that public hearing is still pending. The comprehensive plan is being reviewed right now by the city's Planning Commission. A copy of it is available on the Moorhead Rowan County Chamber of Commerce website. A civil rights organization is asking Ohio Governor John Kasich to immediately halt executions after a condemned inmate was put to death in Lucasville last week with an untested drug combination. Witnesses say inmate Dennis McGuire made loud snorting noises, and it took him about 25 minutes to die last Thursday at the Southern Ohio Correctional Facility. McGuire's family says it amounted to torture, and they're suing the state. The ACLU of Ohio made its request to Kasich on Sunday, noting Ohio has five upcoming executions scheduled. The 53-year-old McGuire was sentenced to die for raping and fatally stabbing a pregnant woman in 1989. Kasich's spokesman says the governor supports the death penalty, but the procedure is being reviewed. Kentucky's governor will be in Washington at the end of this week to speak to a national nonprofit organization that advocates for health care consumers. Ron Pollack is executive director of Families USA.
Governor Beshear has provided enormous leadership in a state that I think many might characterize as a red state. Will be speaking at Families USA's annual conference for 800 to 1,000 activists from across the country.
Pollack says Beshear will address the group Friday. Vice President Biden will open the conference on Thursday. It is shaping up to be a fierce battle for sheriff this year in Morgan County. Five persons have now filed to seek the Democratic Party nomination as the county's top law enforcement officer. They are Jack Klein, Roger Benton, Randall Witt, and Steve Pelfrey, all of West Liberty, and Anthony Gullett of Ezel. The sheriff's post is currently held by Democrat Mickey Witt, who was first elected to the job in 2002. Meanwhile, another Democrat has entered the race for Rowan County Sheriff. Kenny Skeens of Sunset Lane in Moorhead has become the third Democrat to file for the office. Larry Joe Stevens and Matt Sparks filed earlier. Two Republicans are seeking their party's nomination for sheriff. They are Joe Klein and Donnie Hall. Senate Majority Leader Damon Thayer says more Kentuckians would cast ballots for governor, attorney general, and the Commonwealth's other constitutional offices if those elections were held in even-numbered years. The Scott County Republican says low voter turnout for such elections ought to give pause to every Kentucky resident.
And I'm concerned because fewer and fewer people are deciding who runs our executive branch, and I think that should be something that, from a civics point of view, we are concerned with.
Thayer was among the senators who voted a bill out of committee last week that would postpone until 2016 Kentucky's elections for constitutional officers. A bill before the General Assembly could help some counties in northeast Kentucky offset the cost of running their E-911 systems. MSPR's Arlo Barnett has that story.
According to the Ashland Independent, the county's E-911 director, Buford Hurley, says that emergency services are losing money. The Greenup Center operates mostly on revenue from fees attached to 911 calls, but with a majority of people switching from landlines to cell phones, the center is losing money. E-911 charges $2.50 per landline call and only 70 cents for cell phones. The bill would increase that figure to a dollar. Hurley notes that the cell phone rate has been the same since 1998 and doesn't fit today's economy. Boyd E-911 director Sandy Ott says that last year her county's 911 center received 97,000 calls, with 78% of them coming from cell phones. But these calls only accounted for 13% of the E-911 funding. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Arlo Barnett.
State Representative Richard Henderson believes a bill heard in committee last week that helps firefighters receive compensation for cancer should have gone farther. The Mount Sterling Democrat is talking about the legislation sponsored by Republican Representative Robert Benvenuti. It presumes that full-time firefighters who get cancer contracted the disease as an occupational hazard and sets up a process for them to be compensated for it. Henderson says that's fine, but he claims 90% of Kentucky is served by volunteer firefighters.
Where's the voice for the volunteers? You know, I'm sympathetic to the cities and the counties. Where's the voice for the volunteers?
The cancer compensation proposal for full-time firefighters was approved in the House Labor and Industry Committee. It'll now be considered by the full House. When the Kentucky Senate voted last week in favor of a bill that stiffens penalties for dealers peddling heroin, only one lawmaker did not vote for the measure. Democratic State Senator Perry Clark of Louisville did not vote against it either. He passed, saying he supports parts of the bill but thinks it takes the wrong approach by allowing dealers who cause someone's death to be prosecuted for homicide.
This is absolutely not the answer. My question is, do we know what happened in Portugal? Do we know the miracle of Portugal? Do we know how they reduced their entire drug problem in 10 years over 50%? Do we know how they did that? They quit hitting everybody with a hammer. Death penalty is no deterrent for these people that are on the, that are DTing and on the street and busting up small portions of this.
Clark says if legislators really want to solve the drug problem, they have to think outside the box. And finally, this afternoon, U.S. Senator Rand Paul plans to visit Maysville and Flemingsburg this week, according to the Kentucky Republican's communications director. He'll attend the reception Wednesday afternoon at the Maysville Community and Technical College. That starts at 5 o'clock in the Crockett Auditorium and will include a question and answer session with the public. On Thursday morning at 8, Paul will attend a breakfast and greeting session at the Fleming County Extension Office. And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the cities of Flemingsburg, Mount Sterling, and Owingsville. Tonight, cloudy. Snow likely late, snow accumulation of an inch or less, lows 22 to 27, the chance of snow is 70%. Mostly cloudy on Tuesday, snow likely, especially in the morning, snow accumulation of an inch or less, and temperatures falling to 15 to 20, the chance of snow on Tuesday is 70%. Currently, it is 51 degrees in Ashland, 46 in Flemingsburg, 53 in Inez, 51 in Lexington, 50 in Winchester, and 51 on the campus of Morehead State University. It is 4:47 on our feature story this afternoon, a huge blow to all Internet users. That's how one observer is viewing a federal court ruling in favor of Verizon. Greg Stottlemyre of the Kentucky News Connection reports on the decision that strikes down FCC rules regulating the web.
It's been called a huge blow to all Internet users. A federal court has ruled in favor of Verizon, striking down FCC rules that regulate the web. The ruling means broadband providers like Verizon could charge content providers such as Netflix or ESPN higher prices for faster download speeds, creating Internet fast lanes. Josh Levy of the watchdog group Free Press says in its court arguments in the case against the FCC, Verizon revealed a broader goal.
It actually said that it has the right to treat the Internet as a newspaper, and it would be the editor of that newspaper, and it would have the right to block or not block whatever content flows over its pipes.
The FCC's new commissioner, Tom Wheeler, said the agency might appeal the ruling. Levy says the court decision opens the door to the FCC drafting new and different rules. He also thinks a public outcry to protect net neutrality, like the one that nearly brought the Internet to a halt 2 years ago over proposed legislation called SOPA, could be another reaction. Levy responded to the ruling by the U.S. Court of Appeals, the District of Columbia Circuit.
We think that this is a huge blow to all Internet users who can now expect Internet service providers to block any content on the Internet at will. And right now there's no cop on the beat that will be able to stop them from doing so.
The court acknowledged that the FCC has the authority to promulgate rules governing broadband providers' treatment of Internet traffic. Levy says this gives the agency a chance to rewrite the provisions.
They were struck down because they weren't passed in the right way. And so what we need is for the FCC to pass strong protections for Internet users in the right way.
2 years ago this month, Wikipedia, Google, and hundreds of other websites coordinated a one-day Internet blackout in opposition to SOPA, a government effort to fight copyright infringement and counterfeiting. SOPA was seen as a threat to Internet freedom. Josh Levy says this month's court ruling will be viewed in the same way. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
It is 4:50, all things considered, from NPR. At 5 o'clock, Tanner has sports. He's up right now.
It's a good night to break a bad habit. Good afternoon. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd. Looking to snap its three-game losing streak, the Morehead State women's basketball team will be on the Johnson Arena hardwood this evening at 6 to face Southeast Missouri State in an OVC contest. Coach Tom Hodges hopes the Eagles are up for the challenge, noting they're not getting much time to bounce back after Saturday's 22-point drubbing at the hands of league power UT Martin.
If we can duplicate the effort and then just continue to tweak the execution and you know, it's like putting a ribbon on a package. That's what we've got to continue to do. If we do that, we'll win a lot of ball games. But certainly we can't have a hangover like we did this time last week. We have to move forward and build on some positives.
Hodges says he'd like the effort of his team in the loss to Martin. The Eagles are now 8-9 overall and 2-3 in the conference. SEMO visits MSU at 5-12 overall. The Red Hawks are just 1-3 in the OVC. The Morehead State men's basketball team has won 5 of its last 6, but Coach Sean Woods is hardly satisfied. In home games against Southeast Missouri last Thursday and UT Martin on Saturday, the Eagles got down by 11 and 7 points respectively, but were able to rally to win. Woods, though, admits those back-to-back slow starts have him concerned.
I am, because, you know, we got to do a better job of being ready to play from the jump. And we're not. It's like, you know, they got to get yelled at or they got to get punched in the face first before they get going. And that can't be, especially now we're going to go on the road with two tough games against Belmont and Tennessee State.
The Eagles visit both teams later this week. Thursday night's game at Belmont will be for first place in the OVC East. MSU is 4-1 in league action and just a half game behind the Bruins. The Kentucky basketball team returns to the hardwood of Rupp Arena tomorrow night. The 13th-ranked Wildcats will have SEC action against Texas A&M at 9 o'clock, including Saturday's win over Tennessee. UK's won 5 of its last 6 games. Coach John Calipari says for the Big Blue to continue to improve, his players need to take personal responsibility for their play.
They have to own their performance. I'm talking clutter. The clutter around them enables them. In other words, it wasn't your fault. You know, he likes the other guy more. If you had as many shots as so-and-so, if you did, you can't. Look, own your performance. Own it. You did it, you own it. Own your practice performance. Don't make an excuse. Don't alibi. Own it, and then change it if you want to change it.
UK will carry a 12-3 overall record into Tuesday night's game with the Aggies. The Cats are 3-1 in the conference. Michigan State coach Tom Izzo says Adrian Payne is doubtful to play against Indiana. The Spartans moved up a spot to number 3 today as they keep winning despite missing perhaps their best player. Payne isn't expected to be in the lineup Tuesday night at home against the Hoosiers because of his sprained right foot. Izzo says the standout senior is a question mark for Saturday's home game against number 21 Michigan. Monta Ellis scored 22 points, Sean Marion had 18, and the Dallas Mavericks held off a late Cleveland rally to beat the Cavaliers 102-97 earlier today. Cleveland roared back from a 24-point deficit in the first half and trailed by 3 with 2.8 seconds remaining, but the Cavaliers were called for a 5-second violation when Jarrett Jack failed to get the ball in bounds. Ellis put the game away with two free throws with 1.1 seconds left. Kyrie Irving led Cleveland with 26 points. Lil Deng, acquired from Chicago on January 7th, scored 20 points in his first home game with the Cavaliers, while Anderson Varejo had 18 points with 21 rebounds. Patriots coach Bill Belichick says Broncos wide receiver Wes Welker deliberately tried to take out cornerback Aqib Talib when they collided in the AFC Championship game. Talib hurt his knee on the play early in the second quarter and missed the rest of the game. However, Denver beat New England 26-16 on Sunday to advance to the Super Bowl. Belichick calls the play one of the worst he's seen and says Welker made no attempt to get open On the play, Peyton Manning's pass to Demaryius Thomas fell incomplete. Colts quarterback Andrew Luck has been chosen to play in the Pro Bowl this weekend, replacing Seattle's Russell Wilson. It is the second consecutive selection to the NFL's All-Star Game for Luck, who will join teammates Robert Mathis and Matt Overton in Sunday's game in Honolulu. Wilson will be playing in the Super Bowl a week later. The Cincinnati Reds have their eyes on a veteran outfielder. Morehead State Public Radio's Mike Williams has more.
Reports indicate the Cincinnati Reds are in serious talks with outfielder Grady Sizemore about joining the team. 31-year-old Sizemore last played for the Cleveland Indians in 2011, spent 2012 on the disabled list, and was a free agent throughout the entire 2013 season. If Sizemore and the Reds come to terms on a deal, the three-time All-Star will likely back up Billy Hamilton in center field in 2014. Hamilton moved into the starting role after Shin-Soo Chu entered free agency at the conclusion of the 2013 campaign. Reds GM Walt Jocketty says he hopes to, quote, have something done within the next week. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Mike Williams.
And finally, Morehead State softball coach David Williams is trying to get a feel for his players' abilities during preseason drills. Williams admits it will likely take some time before he finally determines a role of each of his players.
We usually go through about the first four tournaments, and we'll play with a few different things, and we'll try a few different combinations. And then usually after about the first month is when things really start to settle down. You can start to see who's being more consistent and trying to figure out what the best order for your lineup is and really overall what your best lineup is.
And that's a check of sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Tanner Boyd.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball hosts Southeast Missouri tonight in MSU's Academic Athletic Center. Tip-off is set for 6 p.m. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com. It is 4:57. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. Because of the Martin Luther King holiday, we do not have a stock report from Bud Luke today. Here are some business notes from the Associated Press. Concerns about slower economic growth in China have held overseas stock markets in check today. Markets in the U.S. were closed for the holiday. Official figures today show that China's economy grew at a slightly slower pace in the final quarter of the year than it did in the previous quarter. For the full year, the economy expanded at a rate of 7.7%. It tied 2012 for China's weakest performance since the 1990s. Still, China's growth is far stronger than that of the U.S., Japan, or Europe. Japan's Nikkei stock index fell 0.6% today. China's Shanghai Composite was down by 0.7%. In Europe, Britain's main stock average closed a tenth of a point higher, while France's main index lost a tenth of a point. Germany's DAX dropped 0.3%, led by a 5.4% fall in shares of Deutsche Bank, which said it would book an unexpected loss in the fourth quarter. Here's a recap of the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the cities of Morehead, Stanton, and Frenchburg. Tonight, cloudy, snow likely late this evening, snow accumulation of an inch or less, lows 22 to 27. Tuesday, mostly cloudy with snow likely once again, especially in the morning. Snow accumulation of an inch or less and temperatures falling to 15 to 20. The chance of snow on Tuesday is 70%. Currently, 51 degrees in Ashland. That's the case in Lexington as well. It's 46 in Flemingsburg, 53 in Inez, and 51 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University. That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Mike Williams, Tanner Boyd, Chase Scott, Joshua Grandison, Arlo Barnett, and Jordan Simonson. Greg Stottlemyre from the Kentucky News Connection had our feature story this afternoon. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. I'm Dan Conte, MSPR News. It's 5 o'clock.